And welcome everyone to a brand new episode of Adventures into Sovereignty with your host, Andrew Bartzis. I am joined by one of my intrepid co-hosts, Danielle Lynn, live from New Zealand. Welcome, Danielle, to the show.
Hey, Andrew. Thank you so much. Beautiful day today. Beautiful show today.
Yes, we are going to be doing readings here. And just a second, we're going to be starting. We want to announce to people that we've got some brand new products out, specifically on dragons. Danielle, you want to tell everyone where they can go to get the dragon product?
Oh, absolutely. Just head over to thegalactichistorian.com. And you can either type in galactichistorian.com/dragon. Or just go to galactichistorian.com and click on store, and at the very, very top, there is a nice big dragon image there that you can click, and you can watch a little clip, too, and you can get it, and it's just an amazing product, very, very healing. I suggest you go check it out. So, oh, and it's also on the Facebook, so if you're on his Facebook page, at the top post, you can click it there as well. So those are all the different places that you can find this very dragony recording.
Very cool. Anyways, we're going to be going to do our first reading. Our first reading is going to be Susanna. You want to bring in Susanna?
Yeah, hi, it's me, Susan, actually.
Hi, Susan. How you doing today?
Hi, great. I am so excited to have a reading with you. I've learned so much from your work. I really appreciate all that you do and sharing your talent.
Thank you. So how did you find out about me?
Some people I follow on Facebook had posted some things about you, and it's been about 8 months or so. I just gobble up everything I can hear from you.
That just jumped out at you? What was it in the material?
Well, you know, I think the main thing that I really remember was just the idea from one of your podcasts about that the light workers that were polarized with the light were just as much of a problem as those polarized to the dark. That was sort of a shocking revelation to me. I just realized how true that was, and it really caused me to reevaluate my perspective and stance to everything. So, and go back to make sure I was in a neutral place when I could bring consciousness to things.
And that's special when people can go through that on their own and realize there are many, many more options to life out there other than what light and dark is giving us. And inside light and dark are many options that take us to whole new layers. Anyways, so we're going to get into your reading. Did you want to ask questions? Did you want me to go in and just read what I see? Did you have something specific you were looking for?
Well, I have a zillion questions, but I've got one burning question, and that is that I'm an artist, and I paint. So I travel around the world as much as I can. I paint sacred sites, plein air on site, and I'm just curious what your reflection might be about the benefits people receive from viewing my sacred site paintings, and specifically my Oracle of Gaia project that I'm working on completing right now.
For those people that are watching me live on Google Hangouts, they're seeing me with a gigantic smile. I love it when artists take their work out into the stones. And this is something you have been doing for many, 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 many centuries. And when I look into the Akashic record of the artist of you, I see hundreds of cave paintings, thousands of tree carvings, hundreds of different river redirections. When I mean river directions, you and a few dozen or a few hundred other Neanderthals with sticks could go to a river that was made out of shale and small rock and literally redirected into a flat land to irrigate for the first time. And you found that you could do art on a very large level. And there was a time where you discovered very ancient ruins that were created by people before the Neanderthal. And it was a moment that you went into these deep caves and saw artwork that was created by your own hand from a timeline genocide, from a building that had remanifested itself out of being outside of time with no ancestral connection. And somehow, some way, in the southern parts of Africa, your little Neanderthal soul found the piece of work it helped create on another timeline that didn't exist anymore. And since that time, literally time, you have been going through sacred sites all over the world, tagging, we'll call it that. So other souls in your soul group that experienced the recoming of many of these buildings throughout South Africa, Madagascar, the tips of Antarctica, and some of the other islands that were around South Africa at the time when the water level was much lower. There's a very powerful and a very ancient civilization of Neanderthals who were able to change their brains quite literally. Are you familiar with the long skulls?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I've seen them in Peru.
Okay. Well, the long skulls, what that is, are Neanderthals. There was a time again, when timeline genocide erased every living thing on this world, including all the ancestors. So imagine this world with no life, no trees, no plants, no nothing. And to get back on this world, we need an ancestral connection to a place that has no life. So there are people that ventured from across the stars and outside of time and remanifested to the dream worlds of other planets until they could find a way to physically come to the astral world here that didn't exist, land on this planet, and die. And once that thing died, there would be an ancestral connection here for souls to immigrate back in. And that's how the creational events allowed planets to come back into existence if one of those original ancestors got back there. Well, what happens if more than one comes back to the planet and there are tens of thousands of different timelines? It's timeline pollution. And that building I told you about was a piece of timeline pollution that came in at a separate paradox, in the third paradox, and altered everything that you did. It means everything you did on the first and second paradox were completely different than the way they were recorded. So you're part of Broken Rules, Resistance, Free Earth. From the very beginning, you found a way to leapfrog through all timelines and paradoxes so that you could ultimately make marker stones for your I Am selves in unawareness to begin to paint sacred art on the walls so you could activate your DNA memories.
Wow.
So you want to know about the Gaia Project. You are awakening the stone people that you made contracts with millions and millions of years ago. And these are the ancient stones that knew they would see you in a future form, but you would be totally unaware of your agreement with them. And all they could do was provide love and warmth at the surface of their rock as you shared your creative work so that you can find oneness with the mineral people and stone people, oneness with those that created the paint, the vegetables and the okras and the minerals that would go in to create sacred paints so that you can bond with the finger that was touching and painting or the brush that was being used. So that the extension of your third eye went into the tips of your fingers. So every little crystalline piece in that stone was a part of that record of creation in that moment. And any other future ancestors in your lineage technology viewing that would have their DNA technology activated too.
Well, thank you. My intention when I paint them is, or my guidance says that people can view my paintings and receive the blessings of the alignment of the sacred sites without having to travel there. Is that a correct assumption?
Yes. But as long as you're there during the creation, you're creating a portal connection to them. This is the multidimensional self you in a 3D world, trying not to break the rules that shatters belief, but still allows the belief of that place to come with you without strings attached.
So then in summary, how would you summarize how people would benefit? I must say, I'm seeking words to say because I'm having trouble summarizing. I think these things are just the coolest thing in the world, but I'm having trouble communicating to others like why they're important, because I think they're just so important to me, it's hard for me to distinguish and say.
The reason they're so important to you is because every time you get closer to the finished agreement, the volume of paint that's gone on your fingers, the weights and measurements of the contract, when that's done, you have a change of consciousness and become the next expression of a long skull. Because this is what you've done before. This is how you've guaranteed that you and your soul family would change in consciousness from Neanderthal direct to long skull within hours. The body would change, quite literally. And as soon as one changed, many of the rest in the tribe would just trigger a change because their beliefs were so challenged and they were such intense portal-creating beings as Neanderthals, because they were massive karmic resolving beings at that time. Every step and everything they did was karmic-related. Every breath, every footstep, everything was related to karma. They were resolving machines. And to break out of the resolving machine, you learned how to paint on walls and how to make sure you could incarnate in an area to see yourself have painted it on walls before, so you could remember and activate your DNA so you could once again become a long skull. And once you became a long skull, you could perceive much deeper in the future. We're talking 20 million years out. The Lemurians still exist and the Atlanteans still existed. They're just not layered into your Neanderthal timeline until that object came through and helped you realize there were four separate paradoxes and that you existed on all of them. And the long skull expression was how you unified all perceptions so you could be here now painting on the walls of the end. So anyone else that's viewing these paintings you've done throughout the many millions of years knows where the end is. You are making a map to all of your other soul family members.
Wow, thank you. That's really profound. Of course, I'd like to know what my soul origin is, and regarding that, if there's any connection to white buffalo calf woman.
This is a really good one. Your soul origin is Orion in nature. That means you spent at least a third of your soul density expression in life on Orion before you came here. And before you were in Orion, you were in called Plex Yakar. And that's on the very edge of our galaxy, about 28 million years ago, 38 million years ago, right around there. Time is different at the end of the galaxy. It doesn't function the same way. And what that world is all about is understanding how to leave the galactic rim and go through the void of nothingness to get to another galactic rim that may lead you to the edge of the universe. So you were an incredible explorer of the end of the universe. You did your time, and you said, all right, I'm going to take what I learned from exploring, and I'm going to go into a fourth density expression as an Orion. So you took what was a seventh density universal galactic expression self, compressed it into a fourth density Orion, and as soon as you became an Orion, within half dozen lifetimes, you were engaged with the Syrian Wars, the Anunnaki Wars, Neanderthal Wars, when Neanderthal human being realized it was being abused by many other species out there in the galaxy, and they got together and had the first groups of war chants, where they didn't need technology to harm other worlds. They needed fire and a drum and a pissed off shaman, and they could wreck space fleets that were coming towards them, or wreck whole planets, quite literally. And you were a part of these original Neanderthal war drums, and these are some of the other ways that Neanderthals created domination and control, which is the system that we're living in now, so that they could end karma. So Orion, you came here to this world as an Orion. In the first paradox, what had occurred is you were in a physical form coming to Earth to defend it, because there were Anunnaki, there were Syrian, there were Greys, there were all these other species who were in a race to get to Earth, because there was a very short window of opportunity before Earth would disappear from reality and fade back in somewhere else before the search started again. Earth was leapfrogging all around the different parts of the universe because it had no home at that point, but it had species on top of it that were resolving karma. So when you got there, there was this big battle out there. The Orions pretty much win the battle and surround Earth with a quarantine field so that it doesn't fade out of that local part of the galaxy and reappear somewhere else in the universe. Well, as it was fading out, the technology that the Orions was using was pulling their ships in stronger and stronger and stronger, and the Orions had technology that allowed them reach back to their home planet and draw upon the unity consciousness of their whole species and funnel it through the sun and through their planet ships there and hold Earth in place for just long enough that they could incarnate a massive amount of souls that were holding that position. And you were one of those that was basically of the Orion concept that was seeded onto Earth to force change the Neanderthals to stop attacking the rest of the universe.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so you were a part of a light body force that is considered resistance-free Earth. Why? Because what the Neanderthals were doing then was not right. Not right at all. It just wasn't right. And in any way, shape, or form. But again, they were karmic resolution machines. So what they were doing was literally at the behest of universal beings, including chaos at all level. That's why Earth would suddenly appear in one part of the galaxy and all hell would break loose, because the Neanderthals, looking up at the sky as sky watchers, were portal creators resolving karma wherever, whatever star that they were looking at. So when the Neanderthals stopped looking at stars and started painting on the walls is when they began to connect deeper into themselves. So when you paint, that's when you're connecting to the deepest into yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So let's talk more about you. Let's take this reading a little bit deeper.
Okay.
And what other questions do you have?
Well, well, one of my questions I have is just occurred to me. Well, I would be curious what you might have to say about my connection to unicorns, because that's been a theme for me. But, in addition, when I've traveled to these sacred sites, sometimes I have these really intense ghost experiences, and I'm not sure ghost is the correct operative word, but I guess I'd like to know, to make sure that I'm doing things right. For example, at Stonehenge, I had an experience with these druids that got my attention, that were trapped in time. And as far as I could tell, I was able to help them. And then about 5 years after that, I was in great danger at one point driving, and I didn't realize I was in danger. And all of a sudden, I was very aware that those same druids, and I don't know how I knew it was them, were warning me to be careful and basically guided me to safety.
Those are time travelers.
Yeah, they were time travelers. They told me they had got stuck in time outside and I had helped them back. But
your DNA lineage was the anchor for them to come out of time long enough so they can come back into their right and proper timeline. And as part of a contractual agreement with anyone in lineage technology, helping a time traveler out of innocence, that means that the next scenario where you were in trouble, the time rules were suspended long enough so that they can come in and reiterate to you a big gift that you give them so that the end would exist.
What do you mean by the end? To understand that.
The end is always what it's been about. The end. We created this prison out of karmic resolution 54 million years ago. And the prison isn't one prison, it's four simultaneously rotting prisons. And we're trying to create a non-prison. That's the fifth. That's why we're on the fifth expression that's not a paradox yet. But four previous expressions of your paradoxes are simultaneously running. So for an end to exist, you had to be here. And if you had passed on or had even a broken arm in there, you wouldn't be able to be at the end, the person you were supposed to be at the end that you originally created as a zero balance.
Wow, interesting. Well, thank you.
Well, when it comes to time traveling druids, well, what it is that's what they were. They knew lineage technology. When people get a little deeper understanding, when I say lineage technology, it is a technology so a past or a future version of yourself can find an anchor point in time that shares its memories. Like, I have Andrew's memories from this lifetime and all the other beings that are here right now. And then my DNA lineage has all the other people that have lived in this lineage when I'm not here is also in my DNA. And the same goes for you and everyone else on this planet. There's 7,300,000,000 humans, and there's 90 trillion time travelers out there still lost who can only look from 7,300,000,000 human beings who have all existence of DNA in those 12,285 separate DNA lineages that exist right now. So we are the master code to all experiences. That's why I contacted you, because your DNA lineage, the body that you're in now, had a way for them to communicate to you. And you were open enough to literally save their lives so that an end could exist.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you. You know, I've had several experiences, although that was like by far the most personal to me as far as it coming back to help me later unexpectedly, but... in my travels, I've had many experiences like on the Culloden battlefield and other places where there's been tragedy.
Have you been to Pumapunku yet?
To where?
Pumapunku, just outside of Tiwanaku in Bolivia.
I intend to go there, but no, not that I know if I've been there right now.
That is where you will find your greatest answers.
Wow.
Pumapunku's story is the heart of it all, the heart of why the Long Skulls existed, why there was an agreement to create a dream prison so we could resolve all karma for the 17 universes, why all uncreational events existed. It is the technology that had the creational events that brought us back. Those were the center points so that the master being running all the timelines had portals to the different paradoxes. And the Long Skulls are what figured it out and created Pumapunku, which is an object outside of time. Yet on this timeline, it is destroyed. So that means we, these people right here, put it back together as we go to visit it. And we literally recreate it from the four separate paradoxes that don't exist right now. And once we recreate it in our dream space, we have global dream time as a unity species. Can exist. Until that time, we are relying on the sacred geometry network that is overlaying the natural ley lines of Earth until Earth gets powerful enough that her ley lines overtake the sacred geometry false grids, and then we can naturally connect to our world. The technology that was created by the Long Skulls it would take hours for me to even be to describe the very nature of Pumapunku, but it is a weapon. And clearly is it a weapon about time. And people have heard me talk about CERN, very similar in concept, but very different in putting it out, in application of it.
And so if I was to go there, what you said that it's a key for me, like, is what would be the best action to take? I mean, is it just would I go there and meditate and have a realization, or...
Pilgrimage to that place.
Uh-huh.
Before you buy your ticket, before you determine when you're going to go there, you uh-huh. do an extended fast or cleanse, an extended time yeah. of prayer, and you pray yourself before you get there. You uh-huh. execute yourself, and you see yourself getting on the airplane, you see yourself getting off the airplane, taking the bus and the long trip that it's getting there, and to seeing the first pictures in your mind. And you can go and look at Tiwanaku and Pumapunku on YouTube, and then in your mind you can create yourself going there and use your prayers to enforce it. So once you get there, you are entering a bubble of reality that you have been in millions of times before on all four separate paradox timelines. That means there's going to be a whole lot of information overlaid there. And if your mind is quiet enough and your body is still enough, while you're still walking and touching the stones, you will not only get the intense experience, you understand why you were there during the creation.
Wow.
It's huge for your soul. It means all of the artwork that you've done on all the separate timelines and paradoxes that exist, by you being there, you can empower every single piece of artwork you've ever done in every existence and timeline, galaxy, and universe you're simul-existing in, so that all of your soul shards could do what? Have a portal home to the I Am presence, so you can say, I'm done and graduated.
Wow. I'm curious, that's very near Machu Picchu, and I was really drawn to go there. Now, 10 years ago is when I was there. Was it really that place that was pulling me to that area and not Machu Picchu?
It was Tiwanaku and Pumapunku, but you needed to go to Machu Picchu in that area before you could get the invitation to Pumapunku. And it's an invitation by ancestors existing on all four timelines. In previous lives, when I look at you, your life between 300 BC and about 1100 AD is where you're part of different mystery schools that are leapfrogging through time, making sure other versions of yourself become very powerful for one lifetime here or there, so that your soul doesn't lose hope. And you've also been doing this for others, and others have been doing this for you. So you are a tremendous time traveler, but only on the first three. You were killed very early in the fourth existence as a soul. Your soul was literally eaten by a very powerful demonic entity on the fourth one. And there were many, many people that suffer from that, and that's what locks them outside of time. But going back to a place that exists in the now that somebody else made sure etched itself way out of time is a way for you to recreate your eaten soul that's locked away in a hyperdimension right now. And
wow.
You can reconnect all of your soul shards and uncreate your uncreation.
Do you mean to uncreate the discreation, like when I was eaten? My goodness.
When you were eaten, that means your soul gave up and said, I no longer want this experience in the universe, and I will go to zero expression at the universal level until the universe gives me a no I am presence immigration to leave as an unaware being of any experience I had in this universe.
Wow.
Means you're ready to give up this universe's experience totally because you were that disheartened by it.
Mm-hmm. Is that why sometimes if I'm in despair, although it's not very often, but sometimes in my despair I think I just really just want to cease to exist. Is that what that's from?
There were many shamanic versions of yourself at around the 700 AD mark that traveled to the void. They were fire shamans, indigenous shamans throughout the world. South America, North America, Japan, India, Russia, Germany, Iceland, everywhere you were a shaman. Why? Because you were looking for the other parts of yourself that had not lost hope, had not given up, and they put together a network of themselves.
Wow.
And when the part of you that got eaten, it can be unwound quite literally.
Mm-hmm.
There was a part of you that literally gave up. You would have never been eaten in that concept if you didn't give up.
Wow.
So why does that depression come? It is a reminder that there's literally a part of your soul that is in choosing to be in non-existence, non-I am presence, which means there's always an access to the void for you. Well, in great sacred mystery school terms, always access to the void means you are a consummate time traveler. That means no matter what your I Am presence wants, you are in karmic resolution as a time traveler until you come out of the void or something else assists your body into back into being creational.
Hmm.
I would advise that you look at pictures of Pumapunku and Tiwanaku and really visualize and focus, and after a while project yourself there after watching those videos, mm-hmm. and you're going to begin to understand how much information is there for you to put together. A lot of it could be confusing if you don't come into it very clear, into the understanding that there's so much information that any toxicity that I bring with me will make me misunderstand the mass stream that's waiting.
Well,
stillness, stillness, but you still must be able to walk.
Wow.
Okay, do you have any other questions?
Well, you know, I'm curious, is that what you were just speaking of, is that what is something that enables me to do the, like, the shamanic work that I can with just being able to speak
yes,
with non-physical?
Void. All right. I don't always go this into this, but because we're in a different time and a different place and I have a different set of rules that I can work with, there are some beings who saw the soul eaters, and I'll simply call them that. That's not what they really are. It was something that was created so that a future version of yourself that ultimately knew you were never going to give up made sure that you always had access to the void.
Mm-hmm.
So there were others that voluntarily gave up so that other versions of themselves that knew would never give up would have permanent access to the void on all dimensions, time, space, and existences so that they could do what? Ultimately screw up the plans of domination and control at the end because they were an unpredictable being that had linked to the void at all level. And as long as they met themselves in a sacred mystery school leapfrogging through time once or twice every 10 epochs, they would be just fine.
Wow, so is that what I did to be able to be more effective right now, to access the void and not be seen?
Yep.
So sometimes I've wondered, like, if my vibration would be high. Like, sometimes I've wondered if something that I've not known about has been preventing the sacred work to be completed, or if I'm just, like, in right timing anyway, or if I've just been, like, I don't know, battling what I may not know consciously regarding this timeline type of stuff you're talking about.
Your mind's battling it all the time. A part of you is in the void. That means a part of your watcher system is always trying to see what's coming out of the void, even though the void is nothingness.
Mm-hmm.
So my question for you is, what animals are you working with?
Horses and bears and cats.
How many horses do you have?
You know, I don't know. I don't have any physically as a pet or anything right now. I can't afford it right now, but I love horses. I'm not sure the answer. Maybe four?
My answer to you is you need to go and pet a horse.
Yes, I do.
And the reason why is they're linked to your soul family and they're part of your huge life that has got a giant one degree of separation. To be a shaman in all of these other lifetimes means that you were connected to the animal world.
Yes.
And this may seem really, really odd, but you are so connected to the bluefin tuna that I'm going to label you the first ever bluefin tuna lady that I've ever met that's so damn soul connected to tuna. You've had thousands of lifetimes ago that where you were blissfully as a tuna solving all karma in the universe.
Oh my gosh.
There are things that I just run across. I mean, I'm just going to call it as I see it. I mean, I see your expression as a bluefin tuna where every layer of fat, everything that was protecting the core center being that was incarnating in this tuna, so it could literally resolve karma just by its gills filtering water.
Huh.
You didn't have to be one tuna. You were a whole school.
Wow. You know, I grew up as a swimmer. I'm a real good swimmer. I've always related personally to the dolphins more, but okay, tuna. I'm just curious.
You have those lifetimes, and I'm looking at your Akashic record, at your soul density, and the lifetimes that, you know, is the time traveler, and then the underlying that is the tuna.
That's awesome.
Well, when we lost our expression as a species and had to literally come back brand new as the new first ancestors of the world after timeline genocide, not everyone chose to be a human being again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it start over? Literally, do you need to have two legs? No, I'm going to go in with fins and see what I can do. Mm-hmm. And you had a blast. And it didn't matter if the planet was being blown up at all, because you were still connected to Source.
Hmm.
All right, I have got to move on to the next
okay.
caller. Absolutely
Thank
fabulous.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
Thank you. Bless you. Bye-bye.
Okay, do you want to bring in the next caller?
Hello?
Hello, and this is Caroline?
No, Claudia.
Claudia. I am sorry. Sorry.
Claudia, ja. Goedemorgen from Holland. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good evening to you. Hello?
So how did you find out about the show?
Oh, well, I was surfing the internet on YouTube, and there I came across your material of the 20 Galactic series of the Galactic History, and I got so inspired by that I started to translate it in Dutch for all the Dutch people here, because I was so in awe of the material. I thought, well, people have to know about this. So you're my inspiration. What can I say?
Well,
So
what kind of questions did you have for me, or did you just want me to just jump into a reading? Your choice. You have the Akashic record of this world and 20,000 other worlds open to you. No pressure.
Since I'm so interested in Earth history, how fit I into that history? That's a very big question for me. Where do I come from? What's my soul family? And yeah. You go ahead and
All right. Well, what I want you to do is I'm gonna tune deep into your energies. I want you to tell me about the first 10 minutes of your day when you first woke up. What did you do in that mechanical moment when you first woke up? Did you remember a dream? Did you rub your eyes? Give me about 10 seconds, 20 seconds out loud, and I'll tune into that Akashic record of you waking up.
Well, can I tell about yesterday's dream, because this morning was very early and I woke up by the clock, the alarm clock, yes. Mm-hmm. So can I tell yesterday's dream?
Yeah, tell me about yesterday's
dream. Okay, because it was about you.
Okay, cool.
I dreamt how I woke up and I was thinking, what did I dream? And I thought, oh my God, I dreamt about me having the reading with you, and then you told me something very, very special, something very unique, and I don't remember what it was. And then I woke up again, and so it was like a dream within a dream, something like that. So do you want me to go on?
I've tuned into you, and you have the classic questions: who you are, where did you come from, how you're affected in time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to build a story here, and it's going to go a little back and forth, and it's going to show patterns of what you've been doing. So the last lifetime that you incarnated was in about 1766, 1765 is where you died. You were born in about 1720, right around there, and you were in Sri Lanka, traveling on a boat. You died on the ocean, traveling between Sri Lanka and the island of Bali, delivering sacred geometry goods. All right, I'm painting a story. grab out of the timeline here. Just a second here. I'm separating your timeline. The life in Sri Lanka. Okay, this is a lifetime that is your anchor lifetime into this end game. You, similar to the other caller, were locked into a non-end game, stuck on the four paradox timelines with no way to manifest your way off unless someone opened a doorway into your mind so that you could come into the dream world and create yourself in the dream world in the end, and then reach back to all other parts in the timelines and paradoxes and connect to yourself and soul shards and then show them the way home by creating maps. Your life in Sri Lanka at this time in that 1700 time frame, you were a very young kid that became a fisherman, and from fisherman you became a person of merchants, and you got hired onto a vessel that was going to Bali. It was a British sailing vessel. When it landed in Bali, there were Balinese sorcerers there waiting for the sacred geometry objects that were offloaded. And the Balinese sorcerers looked at the British people and said, I'm going to buy you, 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 and you. And the British said, okay. And they sold you, even though you were never intended to be sold. So you were a slave at that point. In Bali, Island of the Gods, as part of a karmic resolution being. Now, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I have an Indonesian mother in this lifetime.
You have a Balinese mother. Nice.
Indonesian, Javanese.
Java. Well, as you got into Bali, they bought you as a slave. They weren't nice to you, and quite unnice, actually. Very little food, very little water for a very long period of time. And so they came to you and gave you a piece of sacred geometry artwork and said, figure out how to use it before you die, and you can go free. Okay, and it was a stone statue that had no moving parts. So you were in your little cell that had... underground, that had a little grate that you could look above, and the light would come through every now and then. The morning to night, you had about 5 hours of light that you would move your body into, barely weak, and you'd drag this thing over there and look in everything that could be moved. And shortly before you thought you were going to die, you put your hands on the statue and you said, I surrender to the earth. And then the statue came alive and hugged you and brought you into the arms of the Earth Mother. And at that point, the gates opened, and you were inducted into a Balinese earth shamaning group that specialized in geomancy and repairing Earth's sacred geometry grid as it was being attacked at that moment by the British. And there was an open trade between the Balinese sorcerer and the different British groups for sacred geometry technology. The Balinese is the island of the gods for a very reason. All the gods were locked onto Bali and were vowed from affecting the rest of the creation of the system of domination and control in this timeline that is not a paradox yet. Because the only way to end it is everything that was created before makes it here in its perfect format. So in the perfect format, all beings can create perfection. And what is perfection when one single moment that we all let down to the Earth Mother, where we let go of the facade and don't let ourselves die, where we take the power of the Earth Mother and blend it in co-creation with our own heart, activate our DNA. So once you became inducted into geomancy, into earth sorcery, you began traveling on special Balinese boats that would go to Japan and work with the Shinto priests. And there is where you would walk through portals, and you would be 1,000 years in the past or 10,000 years in the past on another paradox timeline, looking for other versions of yourself, so you can point them in the right direction to make sure you got onto that boat to be sold as a slave.
Oh, wow. Was it a life as a man?
That was a life as a man, correct?
Yeah. Wow.
So that's your frequency. Forced into slavery. But in slavery, you found your purest solitude. How did your life begin? This life now you have.
Yeah.
How much have you been battling the slave program?
Well, I think my father is from has African heritage, and my mother is from Java, Indonesia, and they're both former Dutch colonies. So through my bloodlines, I felt I had to heal and clear a lot, and that's all I've been doing my whole life, it seems.
Mm-hmm. So, resolving other people's karma through your DNA lineage technology. So when are you going to resolve your karma and not other people's karma? That's what this lifetime is about. You need to know your purpose. Your purpose is to literally solely focus on your own karma so that you become a karmaless being and therefore free all of your other brothers and sisters that are linked to your DNA lineage technology.
So what's my next step then to do that?
It's about understanding the person that surrendered to the earth, that didn't allow themselves to die. You have to take it to a more modern way. You live in a world that's 3D matrix, and you still need food and water. You still need love and support. You can't be the shaman in the cave or the Buddha up in the under the tree for years. You have to do it in the now so that other people see that they can do it too. For every hour that you're healing yourself, you're doing 6 or 7 hours of healings on other versions of beings who are helping themselves resolve karma, because you've taken an I Am Presence time now to resolve your DNA lineage technology. So how do you do that? Well, what have you been doing the past 6 months?
Working on myself, really.
Doing what? Meditation, healings? Have you gone under a waterfall? I mean, have you gone exotic?
Sorry, I didn't understand it.
Have you done anything more exotic? Maybe ayahuasca?
No. Do you think that's an option for me, ayahuasca?
I not only do I think it's an option, I think that any plant medicine in sacred format that has a shaman by it will help you go by light years.
Okay. Wow.
So it really comes down to what are you ready for as a brand new explorer in consciousness? Because you haven't explored your own DNA resolution. As much as you think you're resolving your stuff this lifetime, you have, you came in with ancestral karma, and that's actually what you're solving. It's not yours. You asked what you're here to do. Resolve your own, not other. See what is being passed on to you as ancestral karmic debt from your mother and father in unawareness.
Okay.
What was your mother and father like?
They were pretty much dysfunctional through all the hardships they went through.
Okay. So as a child growing up, it's
they were loving people.
Right. So as a child, it's fair to say that you got impressed into your belief system about how dysfunctional they could be and that they couldn't heal, they could never get centered, they could never get balanced. And now this part of your life where you're trying to do that, those foundational programs that were impressed into you as a kid are the only thing holding you back.
Okay.
What was it like when you were 13 and 14? I'm tuning into your Akashic record, and I see a whole lot of spiritual change for you.
What? When? When I was 13? Or what?
Yeah, 13 to 14.
What was I doing?
Yeah, where were you living?
I think, my parents separated then. They got divorced.
Where were you living?
At my parents' house.
What country? Holland?
Yeah.
Same house
yeah.
that you grew up in?
The same house I grew up in, yes.
All right, there's an Akashic record moment, right when you're turning 14, a few months before you're turning 14, where you're coming home from school, and there's a lost memories there. There's as much as 60 minutes of your life that doesn't exist.
Oh.
You ever think about maybe you had been abducted?
Abducted?
Yep.
Well, no. But it happened then?
Do you remember at all missing time in your life?
No. No. But yeah, actually.
Go ahead.
Yeah, maybe I do, because everything seems like a blur when I was in the puberty. So mm-hmm. It was very not defined. I was very unhappy with them.
You had Arcturian consciousness exploration vessels removing you from the reality between age 13 and 24.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the Arcturians?
Well, I've heard about them, but not what they're about.
Okay, they come from a home planet called Arcturus. They are fifth and sixth density beings of light that operate on collectives of collectives. They're the good guys, as one could say, mm-hmm. What is good or what is bad. It doesn't really matter. But their perspective comes from a very positive change for Earth. And they come here to Earth looking for other members of the Arcturian soul families. And you're part of an Arcturian soul family that was soul sharded during a massive uncreational event while you were traveling here to Earth during dimensional portals to try to save other beings here, and got caught in a timeline genocide, and your DNA was not supposed to be mixed with it. So when the creational event came back around, you were soul sharded. Part of yourself was stuck here, and the rest of yourself was put back on Arcturus with full knowledge that it was still stuck here. And that created you what's called to be a forked source stream.
A what? The last time I didn't understand. A fork?
F-O-R-K, like a fork. Like there's two parts of you.
Okay, wow.
One simultaneously living as a sixth density being on the homeworld of Arcturus, and one simultaneously living here that is you of the now.
Mm.
One in awareness of you, and you are in unawareness of it. Until you go to resolve your paradox, which is, why are you dual located as not in hive dream space? One of the reasons you connected to the material that I do so deeply is because it creates a no-time field. And as soon as an Arcturian's in no-time field, they can understand why they're a forked source stream. If they should choose to do the inner work on their heart, where they allow their mind to go into their heart, they allow their whole body to shrink back into the fetus in the mother's womb, where you were just a heart with a soul inside it. And from there is where you can truly connect into what your DNA purpose is, resolving karma. This part of you that is soul sharded in here is the karmic resolution machine. And the I Am presence that is you in the now can make a choice at any point to not be a karmic resolution machine anymore. And then once you say no, it takes a short while for the system to stop working against you. That's why things like contract revocation are so important for you in this phase, where you're hitting the brakes and saying no to karma and coming into a stillness of balance, going back to the center of your heart, so you can realize that you are in two places at once. And every time that you go to sleep, you are looking for the no-time frequency that your body can create as a hyper spark right as your dreaming body opens up like a flower.
Okay. Wow. Wow.
So what other kind of questions do you have?
Well, can I do? What do I have with the reptilian factor? I mean, that interests me also very much, and maybe do I have much reptilian DNA as well?
Well, you are in DNA lineage technology, that is karmic resolution technology. As you said, you're Javanese parents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you know about the islands of Java? Who are the natives? Who are the natives of Java?
I can't understand you. The line is very bad.
Who are the natives of Java? Do they really exist?
The natives.
Mm-hmm. Their DNA stream has been so muddled down that there's no true Javanese. They're all sea traveling and seafaring people that have set lives there over hundreds of epochs. That means the DNA body you're in has reptilian in it. And that means you want to resolve other lifetimes where you may have had more reptilian DNA than you do Arcturian DNA right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's why going back to the heart at the zero point in the fetus of mother's womb is the key for you to reconnecting to the source that allows soul shards to naturally reconnect while you're in dream space. You are a very, very protected being by the Arcturians. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to put you at the bank vault level, like an 8 or a 9. Why? Because the DNA lineage that you made it in has a very unique 1 degree of separation. It's not giant. It's actually quite small. But your 1 degree of separation touches souls that have been locked out of existence for millions and millions of years. Many of them don't even have access to this non-paradoxal time existence yet. But because you exist here with a light body DNA intermixed with a DNA lineage, there is an opportunity if you should create the potential to not only unify your own soul shards, but all the other soul shards of every being that's in your DNA lineage technology.
Mm.
So not only would you heal yourself, you would heal 25,000 others instantly by doing it to yourself out of love for yourself. That's how much they are implicated, interwoven to your time traveler DNA that started in Bali.
Wow. Wow. Oh, that's profound, yeah.
So when you were writing the different radio shows into the Dutch language, did you have any experiences?
Well, sometimes I get insights.
Yeah.
You know,
I've had a lot of things the only way for them to understand the material was to transcribe it themselves. And once they did that, they got into the signature frequency of the Akashic record at a neutral perspective in intonation and vibration, and it would open portals in themselves, created by themselves in other timelines and dimensions. Once you had the no-time frequency, your other parts of yourself did the soul surgery on you to fix whatever was broken in your timelines.
Wow.
And that's something that I'm consciously aware of when I work with people. So it would probably be very, 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 very beneficial for you if you tried transcribing this reading for you after it's put back on air. We'll get you a download right away, too.
Okay.
And the reason why is there's so many layers of information in here. Many, many layers for you to begin to pick apart. And for those other people that are listening to this reading, we are beings of karmic resolution until we say no. And when we choose to say no, there are other versions of ourself that have already said no and have options waiting for us if we should begin the translation and transcription of what's going on at the infinite level with us, so that we have some scribblings or scratchings or long documents that this presence can go, all right, I can absorb this because I wrote it. And it doesn't matter what anyone else says or does.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Well, I must listen to this. Well, I will transcribe this, of course, in Dutch, and I see what it does to me. So you say that am I still being abducted right now, or has it stopped?
Okay, you aren't being abducted in a negative way. All right.
Okay.
It's hard to describe when you lose time. What it is there's consciousness exploration vehicles that can predict if you become predictable and wake up before your time of waking up. And what they would do was come to you a few seconds before you woke up and put a dimensional field around you so that you woke up and fell right back to sleep outside of time, and then they put you back in your body.
Mm.
The Arcturians are the good guys, but they also know if you wake up early, not only will you be captured, you will be turned against everyone else.
Well, that's what I feel. Yeah, that's what I felt. That some force is holding me back in some way or form. So this makes sense to me.
And the reason why is you need what's called sacred space, where your heart is feeling good enough to let down in such a way that you can turn on the smile and create something out of joy in that sacred space that evolves into a ceremonial expression of who you are this lifetime. I call this telling your story to the fire,
mm-hmm.
where you have an indoor and outdoor fire, and you go, I'm going to sit down next to this fire in sacred space and tell it my whole story. And it's no one else needs to be there, just you and that fire. And once you trust yourself to tell yourself your whole story in the witness of an element, is where you get inducted to being a fire shaman. And as being a fire shaman is where you will connect to the other versions of yourself who have gifts waiting for you. Because they knew you would ultimately do it, but only you are the one that actually can do it in no interference. That's why you have to find a sacred space or create one in your own place that isn't violated by others. And because you have so much slave programming built inside your DNA from the system, I am going to tell you are going to have a very hard time finding a place that is your own without interference, without the phone calling, without people stopping over, so you can trust yourself enough days in a row to tell your whole story to that fire and then allow yourself to process all of the visions that come afterwards as a dreamer. As a person with no limitations in dreaming, connected to your dream world, mm-hmm. disconnected from materialism and consumerism, connected to the lands you live in. What I suggest for you is to get really witchy for the next 2 or 3 months, to really look
witchy.
At your day. Yeah, like a practicing of spirituality. And witchy, it's an American term where you go, everything you do is very, very respectful to nature. You make sure that each day you get up, you give an offering to nature, whether it's an apple or a piece of bread, knowing that it fulfills something to the food chain out there.
Mm.
Yeah, there are other people that offer a shot of alcohol to the land. That is spirits, distilled energy. That is something that will be very, very powerful for you. You have dozens of lifetimes where you were a brewer of rum and alcohol and other stuff. That may be considering for you to start using alcohol as your way of blessing or giving offerings to the land. Two, you got to figure out what can you do to make sacred space that has fire in it.
That has what in it?
Fire.
Fire in it. Okay. Okay.
Have you ever done any shaman work?
Sorry, I cannot understand you.
Have you done any shaman work?
No, I didn't actually. No.
Okay. That's what I'm telling you you need in your life so that you can stop being a karmic resolving being. You need to be
so
connected
like,
to
you know. Do you have material for me where I can delve into?
The way you got a hold of email, I'll have someone send you a bunch of links that you can go and get into. A book that I can recommend for you to read is called Dancing the Dream by Jamie Sams.
Okay.
And I'll have them send that to you in email, too. It's a very good book for anyone that's out there. It will help you understand the journey of a shaman. Jamie Sams is a Native American lady of Sioux and Navajo background. And it's about her story growing up in a broken home, taken away from her parents, then becoming a shaman, recognizing her roots, and going through the different training processes and what it was her life of transformation. I read this book when I was 14, and I recommend it to many people who want to understand what being shaman means.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Dancing the Dream.
Okay.
It's readily available on Amazon. It's been out since the early 90s. Okay, do you have any more questions?
Hello?
Hi, do you have any more questions?
Well, maybe you could tell something about Holland. I mean, what keys does Holland hold for the spiritual awakening of the planet where I live here?
Ah. Holland is a unique country. It has been flooded and destroyed hundreds of times and brought back hundreds of times. Those people that living in Holland right now are resolving the energies of the floods. Okay? People move into the most richest and fertile valleys and live there for thousands of years before the waters start to rise again. And their homes and lives begin to be destroyed, and the very few survive and go back to the top of the mountains and become very connected with the mountains until the waters recede and they go back down to the back down to those fertile lands again. And that's what Holland is about. For those who are going to say, no, the waters will not take my life this time. They will not take my land. And it is the power of the people of Holland that can come together to hold back the waters, or to make sure that the waters never rise from the very beginning, because in unity consciousness, the healing of the planet is instant, even though in time we perceive change. Holland is a very powerful sacred geometry area of natural earth that has very powerful false sacred geometry buildings on top of it. It'll be the people of those areas who will dismantle their own sacred geometry systems at a time where rising up is not expected. And once those systems are dismantled, the rest that's hooked into that vital life force, that almost lung of the planet that's known as that area, will suddenly change and ring out a bell of life force that's now being coming out of the earth. And it'll be the people of that area who go through the reawakening and reconnection to Earth, much like you did when you connected to that statue.
Wow. Well, yeah. Are there important places in Holland, like an artifacts, you know, like...
All throughout Europe, there are very powerful artifacts. Now, they're not handheld artifacts. These are the big ones that they couldn't move. Anything they couldn't move with a tractor trailer or a flatbed has already been taken care of. That I can assure you of. The big stuff that is left is well hidden. Holland has some very powerful zero-point energy fusion creation systems that aren't mechanical. They're literally built into the stone to be natural fusion energy. When human DNA interacts with them, at a sacred neutral perspective. That means you have unlimited access to quantum energy as an infinite being of light to manifest as a third or fourth dimensional physical being. There's unlimited energy in the land, and that's the technology that's in Holland, and it's the people that live above it who learn how to tune their DNA so that their body becomes the remote control for whatever stream of information or energy that they want to work for their creation, whether it's a painting or sheep herding. Whether it's building a boat or a mountain, doesn't matter. It has the infinite quantum creation connection to it. And that's a legacy many, many other people in our world are going to learn, and many will go to Holland to learn those skills. And then there's about a few select other places that are similar to Holland, such as the Caribbean, the Gulf of Mexico, the Antilles Islands, the Caribbean, parts of Brazil and the Amazon, parts of Peru, parts of Java, Australia, the Great Barrier Reef. There'll be micro sections there where people can go and connect to very similar to Holland. And there'll be a big section outside of Goa, India, that will be just massive, where people want to learn to connect to that energy. They'll just go there for a few weeks and connect to that field.
Wow. And do you know also why I always have to go to Greece?
Why you always have to go to Greece? It always comes from your DNA lineage technology. Everything that you're doing is still resolving other people's karma that is in your DNA lineage, that are not your memories. But because your I Am Present self doesn't know the difference between your past life memories and someone else's past life memories, you stay as a karmic resolving being, and it appears to be free will to you. But appears.
Okay.
Until you say no to the debt you inherited being born into this lineage and accept the lineage legacy without debt.
Okay, right. Okay.
Okay.
So
what other questions?
Me one. Hello?
How you doing? Do you have any other questions?
You told me so much for now, so I want to really thank you for everything you do, and you've inspired me so much. So, yeah,
well,
I want to.
You've inspired me today.
Hmm?
You've inspired me today. I have to admit that.
Oh.
Okay. To be back doing a reading show is very, very a big deal for me. And for people that want to know how to get on the reading shows, we are being selective about who we bring on. I'm not doing 12 calls like I was doing before. We're bringing on people that can help teach. And she sent in a quick bio of who she was, and that's the only thing that I knew about her before. And in that bio that I read, I saw an explorer from the future. And when I got to read The Being of the Now, I saw how important it was for you to let go of karma. And that this being here in the now, once you let go of karma, my God, what I can do will look like nothing.
So, yeah, it's my potential when I do that.
Absolutely.
Do that.
Better than I'm doing right now. Way better. And people think I'm impressive. There are people out there that may come on a radio show that are impressive, even at my standards. And you're one of those people, once you let go of karma, you're the genius in the room.
Wow. Okay, this is a special thing. I think you were going to tell me what I dreamt about yesterday. Wow. Okay, wow.
It's special.
Well, I think that's my purpose here, and my intention is to do that, exactly that. So.
And you have to make
yourself. And I think you've helped me.
You need to make yourself sacred, special to yourself.
Yeah.
You got to know how much you're worth to this world.
Okay.
When you acknowledge that value is when you break the slave program.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm. Yeah, like I said, I'm intending to do that exactly. So, and I feel that you have a very big puzzle in that to help me with it, and as you already did. So, I will read the books and I will listen to this 100 times, and then I'm gonna do it. What can I say?
Eddie, you have a really good day. Thank you for calling. Thank you, everyone else.
Yeah, I want to give you a big, 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 big kiss for everything you for this reading and everything you do. So, maybe we see each other one time.
We're destined to meet, whether it's in the dream world or physical. That I know.
Okay. Okay. Well, see you then. Bye-bye now.
All right. Alrighty. Danielle, you want to come in here real quick?
Oh, you know I do.
That was a special show. Thanks a lot, everyone, for being on. Danielle, do you have anything to say?
Just, wow. Your favorite word, wow.
Wow.
No, just, for anyone who wants to see this, we also did record a Google Hangout of it, and you can view that also on the Facebook channel, and so view it, share it, just experience it again and again. This was an amazing show, and, again, don't forget the dragon stuff coming out. That's going to be big. We're doing a whole webinar on that as well, so these are all things that are coming up. If you want readings, like Andrew was saying, we are being very selective, but please, go to the League of Conscious Explorers and you can sign up for a reading there. Andrew.
That is going to wrap up a show for us. I want to thank everyone at the Mega Powerhouse BBS Radio for providing this incredible service that takes us to the world and beyond. Santi, my gremlin hunter in the background, my intrepid co-host Danielle Lynn, live from Yelm and live from New Zealand, and live from the whole universe simultaneously existing. We are now going off air until we come back on air in 2 weeks from now. All right, everybody, take it easy.
Bye-bye.